1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10, and I'm going to read down through verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and elegance, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I planned on doing this message 3 weeks ago, and have purposely kept a hold of it for last weekend, and then for this weekend. It's a message that we need to hear. And it's a message that has a resounding in it for today. Because we need to listen to what Paul is saying here about what our message is and what we should be about. You see, the message of the cross of Christ is the most powerful word we have for this world. That message has been given to the church to give to this world. It is the most powerful message we have because it's a message about a God that says, a broken relationship hurts me and I will fix it. A broken relationship is something I can't continue to live with. I will send my son. I will pay for sin. I will make sure you can have a relationship with me. The very simplest illustration I know about sharing the gospel with other people is called the bridge, and I learned it from the navigators, and that's how I learned that Christ died on the cross for me. That in one way, I'm on one cliff as a human, and God's on another cliff, and sin separates me from God. And unless God builds the bridge from one cliff to the other, I will never have a relationship with God. And I very clearly remember Scott sharing it with me. And then after he shared that message with me, he asked me, he said, where are you? And I had to face up to the fact that I had never crossed over that bridge of Jesus Christ. And the bridge that he drew on the piece of paper looked just like a cross. The cross is the most powerful message we have because it's a message of love. It's a message of grace. It's a message of mercy. It's a message of forgiveness. It is not a message of condemnation. It's not a message to separate us and say, you didn't make it, but we did. It's a message that we should be bringing to people because this world needs it. When I look at the news and what's going on around the world and what's going on in our country, There's more about division. There's more about separation. There's more about violence. There's more about you don't deserve to live because you come from a different race. That's not the message of the cross. The message of a cross is God loves us. I remember Henry Blackaby saying, if you ever doubt that God loves you, you need to go look at the cross. That will settle whether God loves you for all eternity. God loves you so much that God was willing to give up his son. As I paid attention to the music that we were singing today, there's something that kept resounding for me. We sang about being the sheep of God. And we like that image. But I also want you to remember that the perfect sheep that came died for us. And that's our example. The sheep of God's flock are to be used, not just saved in a sheepfold somewhere. We are to be sacrificed also, so that other people can come to hear this message of the cross. Taking it out to people and helping people understand what that means. I will never forget that night that Scott stopped by my dorm room. A person that was trying to look like Clint Eastwood from the High Plains Drifter or the outlaw Josie Wales, and an incredibly preppy man stopped by my dorm room. If you don't know what preppy is, I'll define it a little bit, from that time at least in the 80s. It meant that you wore button-down shirts, particularly Izod shirts. And Scott knocked on my door wearing a pink button-down underneath a blue button-down and asked to share the message of Jesus Christ with me. A long-haired, freaky person. And I let him in and he shared it with me. And it changed my life. Not that night. But the message he shared with me changed my life about the cross. A powerful and incredible message that we need to give to the world. But here's the important thing. For our witness to be effective, there is a need for Christians to stand together around the cross. If our witness is going to be effective, we need to stand with all Christians around the cross. And we all need to agree on what the cross means and what God did for us at this cross. And we need to stand together in unity as we declare this message to the people. And see, if we don't stand together, and we declare different messages, who's going to listen? Who's going to listen? We need to have the same message and we need to stand together with one another. You see, Paul's concern in this passage, and not only this passage, he wrote it in other letters, is for the church to be perfectly united in mind and thought. I know, it'll never happen with a bunch of humans. To be perfectly united in mind and thought, that does not mean we all have to be identical. That's not what that means. But we need to all recognize that the message we have for this world is the cross and what God did on the cross and how important that is. And that without the cross, I wouldn't be in the same room with you. Recognize that fact. I would not be in the same room with you without the cross. You see, we need to stand together about that message of God's love. We need to be united. I know it might be easy for me to say, well, such and such denomination has gone the wrong way. You know what? We need to stand together with the same message. If nothing else, all the denominations I know and people that I have met from all kinds of denominations, I have found Christians in every one of them. And I have also found people that aren't Christians. But I have found Christians in every one of them. We need to gather together. We need to be united in mind and thought. What's our message for this world? And what's that message that we need to get out to the people? And how do we get that message to them? It's quite obvious to me on an icy, snowy day. People aren't going to come to listen to that message. Are there other ways that we can get that message to the people that need to hear it? Because the truth is, most of the time when we have worship service, it's what we all call home folks. People that are normally here. People that normally come. People that already know the message and already know the story. How do we get this message of the cross to the people that won't show up on Sunday mornings? How do we do that? That's something we need to be thinking about. That's something that we need to know. I mean, I'm sitting in a college room as a long-haired hippie freak, and somebody decided to knock on my door to see if they'd share with me the gospel. And without that person, I probably wouldn't be pastor here. He just knocked on the door and took the chance that I'd say yes. How do we get this message of the cross to the people? We need to. But the most important thing is we need to be perfectly united in mind and thought about what the purpose of the church is. The church is never meant to be like a country club where we're all members who join together and we help each other out. We do. The church is meant to take the message of this cross to the world. There are people all around the world that need to hear about the cross. They need to understand about it. We sang about it. You came from heaven to earth, from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the sky. A long time ago, I learned the hand motions for that in American Sign Language, and I can't remember them today. And every time I hear that song and every time I sing that song, I'm trying to remember how to motion all of that. But you came from heaven to earth, from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, that I might have a relationship with God. The cross is important. The grave is important. And the resurrection is important. And that message needs to get to people because there are people out there that do not know about this message. And I know some of you are going to say, yes, there's third world countries, and yes, there are people in this town that do not know this message. I was 18 years old at Virginia Tech in a dorm room before I ever heard that message. Never heard it before that. Nobody ever shared it with me. I had a neighbor that went to church that was a mentor to me. Never told me about Jesus Christ. I don't fault him, but I wonder why. When I went for my Eagle Scout Award, I had to have a recommendation of a pastor. I didn't know one. My family didn't know one. But I couldn't proceed without a recommendation from a pastor. My neighbor, who was my mentor, got me a recommendation from his pastor. I spent some time with his pastor. His pastor never told me about Jesus Christ. But he did write something on the back of the recommendation that I have kept till this day. He wrote on the back of the recommendation, "Such a fine individual and a wonderful young man. I wish he could find Jesus Christ. And I wish somebody would tell him." I wonder why the minister didn't. Was the long-haired hippie freak in front of him someone he was not wanting to talk to? You see, the message of the cross is the most important message we have, and we've got to stay centered around that. So I wonder if all denominations of the church could stand together to share the story of the cross of Christ, might people listen? If all denominations could come together and share the story of the cross of Christ, then might people listen? If we all got together and were sharing the exact same story, and telling how important the message of Christ is, telling how important the cross is, how important the grave is, how important the empty tomb is. I wonder if we were all centered around trying to do the same thing, would people listen? Do you know why we have so many different denominations? Sometimes it's over big theological issues, and sometimes it's over really silly, stupid things. Churches have split because people didn't like the new carpet color. Now, what does that say when the community can see a church split like that? Over the color of the carpet, do you really think they're going to listen to the message of the cross? When denominations fight with one another because you don't believe right, will people listen to the message of the cross? You see, I do. I wonder if all denominations could come together and understand the purpose of the church is to help seek out, find the lost, bring them the message of the cross so that they can know they can have a relationship with God. What if we all did that? Do you think that would make a difference? Instead of claiming that we believe right and you don't, you use the wrong Bible, and this is the only right Bible. You baptize children, and we don't believe in that. You say we should only worship on Saturday, and I believe Sunday. What happens if we all came together and said, we've got one message, and we're not going to pick apart where we are different? But we're going to proclaim the one message together. One of the things that I can tell you that I am so excited about the ministerial group here in town. So excited. The past 2 weekends, we have been in constant communication with one another. Is your church opening or closing? What kind of conditions do you have? I even had one of the ministers yesterday say, he texted me and he said, I noticed that you have had a problem getting your sidewalks clear. Do you need some help? from another denomination. Whoa. One that's drastically different than we are. Whoa. Do you need some help so that you can have church open? So that you can get the word of the message of Christ out there? You know, that's what I've enjoyed about the ministers' conference here for the last couple of years. We have moved it from being in competition with one another on who's got the best church to how can we help you be a better church? What can we do to support you? What can we do to help you? I really think that's the way it should be. What do you think? Because as we sung about what? There's only one Christ. There's only one cross. There's only one body. There's only one Spirit. There's only one God. Why are there so many different denominations that go in so many different directions? So I wonder what would happen. And that's why I thought this is an important message. I wish a lot more people were here to hear it. I wish people from other churches could hear about what Paul says here. Because what does Paul say? I've heard that some of you go, well, I'm of Paul. Well, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Cephas. Well, I'm of Christ. Shall I change it for today? Well, I'm an Episcopalian. Well, I'm a Presbyterian. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Lutheran. Is that no different? Or to make it even if you don't know all that, I'm a United Methodist, or I'm just a Methodist. Because that's different today. And if you don't know that, that's something you need to learn. There are United Methodists and there are Methodists. I'm not going to say un-United Methodists. And don't report that I say, oh, shoot, that just went out on the internet. But what happens if we all stand separately like that? I wonder what would happen if all the churches in town, and I mean all, and one day I sat down and I was praying through churches that I knew in this town, going kind of in my mind, street by street, of where I knew churches were. And I got to over 20 churches in this town. And there's only about 7 ministers that join together that are supportive of one another and help. And we keep trying to include the others. Some of them can't come to our meetings because they're bivocational. They work another job. We understand that. But what happened if all of us came together? Well, I got kind of a weird background here today. It's a background of a church and a ladder on a balcony. I want to tell you the story about this ladder. Because for the most part, this ladder has been in place for almost 300 years on the balcony of this church for no reason. There are a couple of times that people moved it and it got put right back. This is called the immovable ladder in Jerusalem. It is at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Now, if you don't know what the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is, that is the church that covers over where Christ was crucified on Mount Calvary. It covers over the rock that they believe he was laid out on as they prepared his body for burial. And it also covers over the tomb where they believe that he was laid. What you could consider as the most highest and holy place of all Christianity, the place where he died on the cross, the place where they prepared him for burial and the place where he was buried. This church and this site is so important that there are six different religious sects which see over this site. Each one of them has a different part of the church that they are to take care of and that they are to maintain. This church was first established by Constantine's mother, I believe, in the 300s, and slowly built up around these three places. And if you go and research it, one of the things that you'll find out is that the tomb is in a dome, inside of a dome, and there's not anything else around it. What happened when they built the place is they excavated and tore apart the whole cliff, except for the tomb where they believed that Jesus was laid, and built a little shrine over that tomb, and then there is a larger shrine over that. This ladder happens to appear on the entrance of the church. What has happened with all of these six different religious sects is they have, who would believe this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, they have fought over how to take care of the church. You don't believe that, do you? And when I say fought over, I believe it was either 2009 or 2011. There's part of the roof that you can sit on, and they've got chairs up there where some of the monks sit. One day, one of the monks moved one of the chairs less than 12 inches so that he could sit in the shade. And you can go look this up on YouTube if you want to. It ended up in a fist fight among the monks in the church that the police had to break up, and that 18 people ended up in the hospital to be taken care of. Among the monks. Well, what happened throughout history, the Ottoman Empire was in charge of Jerusalem at one point. And the Sultan of that day, they established what's called a status quo. All six religious sects must decide together to do things to fix the church and to help the church out. All six have to decide perfectly together. Otherwise, things cannot be changed. That was established in 1757. In 1757, this ladder was on the balcony. They believed it was put there by a mason to do some of the rock work around that window. And the mason left it there. Since it was there when the status quo was signed, this ladder has not moved. Because six different religious sects cannot decide whether it should be moved or not. Now, I will tell you this. There was a couple of people during the history of this ladder being there that have moved it. It caused fights. And the ladder came back. There was one Protestant individual who was over there as a tourist that they have film of taking the ladder in the window. That's why there is now a screen over the window so you can't reach out the window and get the ladder. I think it's kind of funny. They could decide to put a screen up so the ladder wouldn't be moved, but they can't decide whether they should move the ladder. It's been there almost 300 years. At one of the highest, most sacred places of all Christianity. The church is actually falling down in places and deteriorating because the six different sects cannot decide how to fix it. Now, with this example in mind, I want to ask you, what kind of witness is this for the cross? What kind of witness is this? There's another video you can watch. It's quite informative, really. There's another video you can watch. Because they used to light lanterns inside one of the chapels, which I believe is over the stone where they believe that Jesus was prepared for burial, they don't use lanterns in there anymore. But because of that, they would use it during Lent. Every year, the ladder is brought in and set up because of the status quo. And it is never used. But it's in the way. But because of the status quo, they have to set the ladder up every year. Because six different religious sects can't decide, we really don't need to do that anymore, do we? And there's tons of other things that go on the same way. I wonder what kind of witness that is for the church at the place where the cross was, at the place where Jesus' tomb was. Wouldn't it be important for us to come together as different denominations to help this town? Instead of fighting over whether we can move the ladder or not? When I found out about this, I found out about this a number of years ago. There's actually two windows here, but I chose a picture that just showed the ladder and the one window. There's a second window to the left of this. And my understanding is they think, I don't know if this is possible or not. Some college students pulled a prank and moved the ladder from the right window to the left window. And there are some photos of this ladder being at the left window. It had to be moved back. And I just wonder, what kind of witness is this? And when we fight about some of the things that we fight about amongst denominations, you're worshiping on the wrong day of the week, you're doing it the wrong way, how can we expect people to accept our message of the cross of Christ? How can we expect people? So I want to ask you, and I've changed my question, but I didn't give it to Susan. No, go ahead and put that up there. I've changed my question a little bit. How can we encourage a united community in Withville? And I've added one word to it over the last 3 weeks. How can we encourage a more united community in Withville? So that people can come to know about the cross of Jesus Christ. How can we do that? I think there are tremendous ways that we can do it. The ministers, the about seven or eight of us that get together once a month, we're trying to do everything we can to support each other's churches. I was floored by, and I'm going to say his name, I was floored by Father Paul contacting me yesterday and saying, do you need some people to help clear your sidewalk so you can have church? That's what we should be about, shouldn't it be? So that people then can accept that we have an incredibly powerful message that they need to listen to. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you acknowledging that we don't always get it right. We don't always do it in the best possible ways. But Lord, it's really easy to see in the history of the church, they had the same problems. Even in the first century, they had the problems of people causing divisions. Show us how we can stand together, especially around the cross, that we might bring your word in deeper into the midst of people who truly need it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.